Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP, that's 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome to your Woke Bros. I'm Michael Brooks, joined by fellow Woke Bro, Big Waz, Waz de Lombre, and the Three Musketeers now, Nando Vila. The Woke Bros are here with our genius producer, Rob Lopez, the evil genius behind it all, Jade Hoy. We're going to tell you in the end all the different ways you can find us and our Patreon pages and all the rest. But real quick up top, I'll start with TMBS. February 7th, live show at the Bell House. This might already even be sold out by the time you hear this, but might not be. Check it and grab your tickets. That's incredibly exciting. And then April 3rd in Austin, Texas, at the North Door. TMBS is in the Lone Star State with Anna Kasparian and Abby Martin.
Whoa.
Monster. Those things have only been on sale for less than a week, and they're like going at a fast clip. So get your tickets. Wise, what else?
On March the 28th, Count the Dings will be live at the Bell House in Brooklyn, New York. Of course, the entire Count the Dings crew, myself, Aminel Hassan, Zach Harper, Mariano Bivens, Jade Hoy, Tom Haberstroh, Black Trey, Eden Le, Nissan Bluestein, just the entire crew. Tony Mays is going to be in the building. We got Jerry Ferrara lined up as a guest. My man Pablo Torre. Of course, my fellow woke bro Michael Brooks will be in the building. We just starting to line up these guests, y'all. It's looking real crazy. It's going to be the best show that Count the Dings has ever put on. New York is typically our best crowd. You don't want to miss this. Get your tickets at countthedings.com. And I do want to say, Mike, man, you doing panels with Cornel West. And you going to Brazil to do interviews with Lula da Silva. I mean, I know you're going to slum it in New York with us, but goddamn, bro, you're killing it.
Dude, it's a fucking honor. I honestly got to tell you, the video of Cornel West is going to – the second part of the interview with Lula just dropped. Everybody should watch both of these interviews. I'm really proud of the job we did. Lula is a statesman. He's amazing. It was an incredible experience. And this whole event at Harvard with Cornel West was incredible. There was a lot of amazing people there. And I think they're going to try to make it like a yearly thing. And obviously we got to get Wise and Nando there. But the whole purpose of me going, and I shouldn't even say this publicly, but it's just, you know, totally just to impress Dr. West, and, like 100%. And I so I will say, I mean, look, the man is, he's awesome and he's as genuine and as great as you expect. And when we dropped the video, look, I'm not saying anything, but I'll just say I got a number of interruptions for handshakes and cosigns, a lot. So I think mission accomplished, gentlemen.
I think Cornel West is my favorite person in America.
Yeah. And I would encourage our listeners to go check out Cornel West on Joe Rogan. That's what they call a segue in the biz, Mike.
Expert host.
Waz the pro, man. Waz, you want to set this up?
Bernie Sanders picked up an endorsement, which wasn't even a crazy endorsement. On one of his latest episodes, Joe Rogan, the probably one of the biggest YouTubers on the planet, he kind of dominates that space, has a crazy, rabid following. He's somebody who's interviewed Bernie in the past, interviewed Cornel West in the past. He's interviewed leftists, lefties, real progressives in the past because, you know, he has a history of being sort of quote-unquote libertarian. And we all know, if you're listening to this, you know libertarianism is... it's a sham. It's a crock. Like, it's not like once you interrogate, like, even, you know, rudimentary way intellectually, you're like, okay, there's not much there. But anyway, that's Joe Rogan's background. You know, he's a comedian. You know him from Fear Factor. You know him from UFC stuff. Anyway, he's a big YouTuber, has a big following on his show. He said that he's going to be voting for Bernie Sanders in the primary.
Who are you going to vote for in the primary?
I think I'll probably vote for Bernie. Him as a human being, when I was hanging out with him, and yeah. I believe in him. I like him. I like him a lot. What Bernie stands for is a guy who, well, look, you could dig up dirt on every single human being that's ever existed if you catch them in their worst moment and you magnify those moments and you cut out everything else and you only display those worst moments. That said, you can't find very many with Bernie. He's been insanely consistent his entire life. He's basically been saying the same thing, been for the same thing his whole life. And that in and of itself is a very powerful structure to operate from.
Boom. The Sanders camp picks up on this, and they, you know, they kind of do a blitz behind it, and it's like, yo, we picked up an endorsement from Joe Rogan. Like, they leaned into it, which I don't know that I would have did all that, but you know, you can't blame them. It's like, you know, they're trying to win, and it's like, look at what we're able to do. We're able to change the minds. Like, we're going out and changing minds of people out there, right? And so, you know, they kind of patted themselves on the back for getting the Joe Rogan push or tacit, you know, endorsement, right? Of course, Bernie starts getting destroyed from the moderates, from the conservatives within the party. Everybody, you know, the progressives in the party, everybody's like, oh, how dare you court the support of Joe Rogan. He's anti-trans. He said racially insensitive stuff. He said misogynist stuff in the past. Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, how can any of these people do this stuff with a straight face? Like, no, seriously, I leave it to you. Like, you know, I have my own thoughts, but like, how do they, like, how do you do this? And I'm talking about from progressives to moderates to conservatives. Like, and, you know, just to give you guys an alley-oop, like, we're going to get into Joe Biden being a liar, straight up lying about participating in sit-ins and basically calling himself Abernathy, essentially, right? Like, Joe Biden is fashioning himself as, you know, Huey P. Newton on the front lines of the civil rights stuff. Okay, this is how he's fashioning himself, and he's straight up lying about it. That's Joe Biden. Cool. Pete Buttigieg, who we've covered extensively on this show, straight up said black people, he can't court black support because black people are homophobic and hate gay people. Therefore, he'll never convince black people to support him. That's his excuse. This is,
you know, the really weird thing is that black people not only hate gay people, but they particularly hate gay people who cover up police murdering them. It's weird.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things. And then, of course, Warren has her own racial stuff. Awkwardness.
Could you imagine if Bernie Sanders, I know I've done, this isn't even my riff. Something else came up with it and I went off of it. I think it was TruAnon podcast, but just like, if Bernie was just like, I'm Chinese, General Chow's chicken, that's my recipe. Unacceptable. Elizabeth Warren ran around for fucking decades and these friggin' hypocrite twerps are just like, no, you can't talk about that. Even, not only to mention the fact that it's like, if Elizabeth Warren, and mercifully this won't happen, was the nominee and Donald Trump was on his way to beat, like just blowing her out in the general election, and you can't police the conversation, he would dine on that every day and it would look phony and weird to most normal voters. But anyways, yeah, Nonzo, go to you first, man. And then, because I wrote something on this, yeah, I'll basically just, you know, repeat some of what I wrote. But Nonzo, I mean, I agree with you, obviously, but Nonzo, tee off.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was indicative of a sort of deeper pathology that exists within left of center or left liberal circles often, which is, and even in some far left circles, but it's a sort of understanding of politics that is so flawed in that the point of politics, at least as far as I understand it, is to speak to people and try to convince them to get on board with your agenda, right? And that's, I mean, it seems so stupid and simple when you say it like that.
Joe Biden is like, the point of politics is to keep everything exactly the same as it is right now.
Well, not just that, but Joe Biden, there was that video that went viral of Joe Biden saying like, go vote for someone else. He keeps on telling people to go vote for someone else other than him because he gets mad when they push back on something. He's like, yeah, just go vote for Bernie or go vote for somebody else. But I understand politics as a method to build power around an agenda that you believe in. And if you're going to do that, you need to get people on board. And when you do that, you're going to get people that didn't previously agree with you on every single thing that you already believe in. And that's a good thing, obviously. Like, you need to get more people on your team. And if you get a guy like Joe Rogan, who has had some like funky political views in the past, and he dabbles a lot in the, you know, libertarian world, intellectual dark web bullshit that Mike's book is going to be about. You know, then if you can talk to him in a different way and sort of take his attention off of that and onto your sort of socialist, social democratic agenda, then that's unquestionably a good thing. I mean, you're going to need to do that. So this idea that you can only celebrate the conversions of people that were already on your team or already believed all the correct things is just weird. The best take I saw, and I saw a tweet from a woman named Aisha Ahmad, and she said this, which is like, I thought it was exactly right. She said, "Joe Rogan is what most Americans are like. Curious, yes. Not super engaged in the nuts and bolts of the political process, politically incorrect, but not maliciously so. If you think Bernie shouldn't have celebrated his endorsement, you are not ready to fight for someone you don't know." And that's true. Like, if you go out on the street and you talk to people, and, you know, like I talk to my friends or, you know, people, whatever, like that are not involved in like the media.
People just don't care.
They don't care. And most people say shit that's like often politically incorrect, but they're not dicks about it. Like they don't like actually hate all those people.
I was watching Marcus Morris, who just got his ass kicked by 30 points last night, and he had a problem with a guy named Jay Crowder. These are NBA basketball players, and he comes out and he says, you know, he flops a lot. He doing all kinds of stuff with his neck, playing real woman like, playing like a female. This is a man's game. And he didn't even think twice about it. This is how people talk. Not that it's excusable and that he shouldn't be corrected and that he shouldn't be, you know, it's like somebody shouldn't reach out to him and be like, "Look, bro, this is why it's messed up that you said that." But this is how people talk.
And then this idea that Bernie was like elevating Joe Rogan or whatever. I mean, Joe Rogan gets what, like 100 million downloads a month or something like ridiculous. Okay. Like he's got a bigger audience than literally all the cable news hosts combined. So like, I mean, this idea that Bernie could elevate him, it's ridiculous. Like he's elevated in any sort of definition of the term. So I found the whole thing to be nauseating because it speaks to like a deep fear of actually taking power. There is a sort of weird fear because the left has been in such retreat for so long. There is this idea that like we'll never take power. And so we just have to kind of, I don't know, steer away from it or sabotage ourselves or whatever, like instead of just like actually building the coalitions necessary to actually change things.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I agree completely with you guys. And send me that tweet later, Nonzo, because, I mean, that tweet that you mentioned just summarizes everything. I wrote a piece with Ben Burgess about this in Jacobin, which people can read. But I just to try to add something, I mean, basically the same thing what we've been saying, but something new to it. I mean, I think, one, there's like the obvious hypocrisy. And I just want to say, I don't agree with any of this. Like, I think it's all stupid as hell. But it does have to be noted that there's one contingent of people that were complaining about this and cynically trying to use it to smear Bernie. And then by extension, let's be honest, make sure you don't have health care. Speaking of like immorality, they were slay queen emojis all day for Hillary's Howard Stern interview. And if Joe Rogan said... You know, if Joe Rogan said, like, dude, like, you know, fucking Elizabeth Warren's smart, man. She's got fucking plans. All of these people would be, you know, they would be coming on the Twitter. Like,
hey, man, I took DMT and I went out to the desert and I took DMT and I was like, hey, you know, this chick's got a lot of plans, man. And she sounds real smart. And, you know, it just came to me. It was just so, I was like, bam, you know, like,
and maybe it's we gotta not do. Like what I would elect in my own mind, but it's like what we need now for like, to like fucking do shit, you know?
That's how most people talk about politics.
Yeah. And that's like, but the other just real quick things too is like, it's not, this is so important because we all know that what people call the center is bullshit. Like it's always like, oh yeah, the center is ultra affluent people who are right wing and corporatist on economics, and they went to Ivy League schools, and I wouldn't even say they're socially liberal or socially open. I would say that they have a certain kind of social etiquette, right? Like, they still have plenty of racist attitudes, as an example, but they understand, you know, and now it's like you're supposed to pretend to be super woke or whatever. And so, and like, that's the center. The center is someone who wants to, you know, enshrine an apartheid state in the Middle East, bomb Iraq, cut corporate tax, you know, give corporations tax cuts. But all of a sudden, the last 6 months has gotten really concerned about the rights of transgender people, you know?
Like Joe Biden tweeted out.
And so, you know, what Joe Rogan represents is what the actual center of this country is. And yeah, that's in some ways actually really good.
And you know what, Mike? We need to, because we need to move on from this. I just want to say this. Anybody who's listening to this right now, you can actually go watch Bernie talking to Joe Rogan. And you can go watch, like I said, Cornel West talking to Joe Rogan. And all I ever freaking hear from these centrist people is that you need to be making appeals to people on the center. And you need to be making the argument, making the case for progressivism to those people. You need to be making the case, changing hearts and minds. A quote-unquote flaming liberal leftist like Bernie can't do it. A pragmatist has to be the one who does it. Go watch them talk to Joe Rogan and watch him be mesmerized in real time by just facts. Just go watch it. Like, this is what's going to change people's minds. Like, that's the thing about the Rogan thing. Like, nobody on this call right now is obsessed with Joe Rogan. Like, of course we're not transphobic and we think he should enlighten himself about trans issues. Of course we're like, all right, some of the stuff he said was racially insensitive. Like, of course we recognize some of the stuff he's done and said was misogynistic. Of course. But if you want to deal with reality, and like Michael and Nando already pointed out, these are the kinds of people whose minds you have to change, the kinds of people who are generally disinterested in what Mitch McConnell is doing on a day-to-day basis. Like, you need to be effectively making the argument for progressivism. And that's why I would encourage people to actually go watch Bernie on that damn show and understand why Bernie was able to convert this cat.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I'm just saying, like, I think, of course, we all evolve and we all change, and not that, you know, Rogan hasn't said and honestly just has positions on certain things that I strongly disagree with. But I also think it's very important to even recognize, and I think we've been saying it, and the last thing I'll say is even just the difference between like a politically incorrect personal attitude versus a policy. Because I will say, as much as he has absolutely said and holds policy views that I just totally disagree with, there's a number of areas where when I looked into it, it was striking to me that it's like, okay, he said one thing and whatever, okay, but his actual policy position is good, right? Like, he never questions the right for legal protection and equality for transgender people. And by endorsing Bernie Sanders, he's endorsing by far the most transgender rights-oriented candidate in terms of reality, even though other ones might be more, you know, scripted to sound woke or whatever. But going back to the 80s, Bernie Sanders supported the rights of trans people in a real substantive and not just performative way. So I just think people also need to keep their eye on, you know, what the actual policy is. But speaking of which, Joe Biden, why? He's having a hard time. And he's having a hard time because his record is trash by any metric, from corporations to race to war to gender. And he's also going senile, like he's diminishing in front of us, and Bernie's surging. Guys, take it from there. I mean, it's a wide.
I mean, Nando actually has a better facility with the actual polls themselves, but yeah, he's surging in Iowa right at the right time. He's surging nationally right at the right time. And he's, you know, he's looking like a guy who's raised a lot of money. the right way, might I add. You know what I mean? Not going around Goldman and all of these banks and all of these real estate industry types and begging for money from, you know, people, the corporate dick. He's not sucking on the corporate tit. He went out and got money from real people who believe in what he's trying to do, and they scraped up their pennies to say, hey, man, go forward, young man, right? And he's got a ground game. He's got an actual organization on the grounds in these places, knocking on doors, getting the kinds of, energizing the kinds of people that are going to show up. And so he's looking good. He's sitting pretty right now in Iowa, Nando.
Yeah, I mean, and the voting comes out. The voting is on, the Iowa caucus is this Monday. So it's happening. It's coming. It's coming, folks. I mean, he, in the latest polls, he's taken anywhere from a 5 to 6, some of them even have closer to like a 7 or 8 point lead in Iowa, which I find just astonishing in many ways, because I still kind of believe the theory that the polls underpoll Bernie almost by design, because his support is strongest amongst young people and non-traditional voters, which is what polling usually represents, is traditional voters, people that are reliable voters. So it's even possible that the polls are underselling the lead. You know, and if you look at 2016 polls, the day before Iowa, Hillary had like a 10 or 12 point lead, and then they essentially tied. Because the polls were undercounting Sanders supporters. So that's crazy. And I saw a poll this morning out of California that had Sanders up 14 points in California, which is the largest, most diverse state in the United States. So it's getting crazy out there, because I think people have all of a sudden realized, like, holy shit, like, this is happening. Like, this could happen. And so, you know, you've seen this united front backlash, that has been almost remarkably coordinated. You know, everyone from liberals like Jonathan Chait and Will Sailton to conservatives like Max Boot and David Frum, they've all written their own version of the Bernie can't win column. Which is hilarious, because he's leading the polls everywhere.
This is eerily familiar to me, Nando. You know why? Because I'm old enough to have lived through 2016 and can remember the Trump can't win stuff.
Oh, yeah.
In fact,
from the same people.
Yes, from the exactly. Exactly. It was this idea that these trained guns, the army of professionals in the establishment, they're gonna train their guns on you. They're gonna set their sights, put you in the crosshairs of the scope, and just kill you. The establishment will kill anybody that they want. And it's like, no, they won't. It's like, no, they won't.
What's going on here is that they're right to point out that the prospect of a Bernie Sanders presidency is so difficult to imagine. Like, it would be such a shock to the system that it's incredibly difficult to imagine. And one of the things that is so dominant in American ideology, that's we've been conditioned since we were children, is that these things can't happen, that these kind of shocks to the system can't happen, that there's a sort of very narrow spectrum of acceptable possibilities. And yeah, we know we fight amongst ourselves, but there's just this very narrow thing. We can't expect anything crazy to happen. We can't expect anything shocking to happen. Certainly not anything that would improve people's lives. Like, that's just impossible. We got to throw that out the window immediately. So we've been conditioned to accept that our whole lives, right? And that's the hard part about, like, opening your eyes and waking up and being like, oh my God, like, we can do this. Like, we can get together and actually change things. We've been conditioned to not believe that. So what these people are trying to do is remind you of that. And sow doubt amongst all of us, you know, who believe in a better world. Like, what they're doing is, like, tickling that little nerve that you have inside your brain that says, like, no, this isn't going to happen. Come on, this is not going to happen. It's impossible. It's impossible. You know it's impossible.
And the funny thing about that, Nando, is that the last two presidents is like a black guy and Trump is like, what?
All the rules should be out the window after those two.
100%.
No, exactly. I think that's so important what Nando said, that it's really, it's all about people
who I think are actually, and the polls are showing that it's successful. And you know what? Maybe I actually do want to take a little risk and do something different, because I want somebody who will actually be there to deliver for me. And now it's all just about, no, that can't possibly work, just playing into people's fear. I think the other thing, though, that we got to be really real about is, if you look at the rules committee, which Tom Perez, the head of the DNC, put out, I mean, you've got people who personally hate Bernie Sanders, not just that they're like from the other wing of the party and have a self-interest in stopping him. And, you know, they hate him. And then we got Bloomberg, and Bloomberg, in a lot of ways, as a candidate, is a joke. But yeah, this guy will spend hundreds of millions of dollars to keep hoarding his wealth and stop Bernie Sanders. So I think Bernie is going to win Iowa and New Hampshire. And then I think it already is starting. But I mean, you're going to see just, you know, the spasms of this whole monster come at him and his movement. And it's going to be the nerds who get nothing right. You know, it's going to be like, well, actually, it's going to be really hard for him to win. And it's going to be a lot of other, you know, really dirty, underhanded shit. So people need to stay really focused. But yeah, I mean, Jonathan Chait's big three calls were, you know, invade Iraq, Trump can never win. And even also, like, the Obama legacy is rock solid. It can't be altered. So, okay, Jonathan.
Like, and again, you know, from the... And it's so funny that this is the same week that this stuff is happening, right? Where from the guy who used to write speeches for George W. Bush, he was writing speeches for the guy who was lying us into a war in Iraq, right? Like, that's who that guy is. Like, this is just rich. But like, this, the fact that this guy even has a place in the public square is hilarious. Just in and of itself, it's like, bro, you're a scumbag. Like, there's no two ways about it.
He wasn't just writing speeches for Bush. It's very important for people to know. He wrote the actual phrase, axes of evil. This right. was his idea. The most famous speech in the entire Bush presidency, which had world-altering consequences. I mean, we've seen reporting, very reliable reporting, that said that Iran was ready to make peace with the United States until they heard that speech. You know, like, it killed the possibility of speech of peace with North Korea. That those three words, axis of evil, you know, it led to the war in Iraq. Like, world altering words for the worse from one of the worst human beings on the fucking planet, David Frum, who's not even American. He's Canadian. Get the fuck out. I become like a total reactionary.
You know, there's so many people that should be deported to Canada.
Yeah. Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz, David Frum, Gavin McGinnis. We're fucking swimming in, like,
Jordan Peterson.
Like, what the, yo, Canada, what the,
get the fuck out.
Jesus Christ.
I was gonna say, it's because Canada's like too a decent society with, like, you know, free healthcare and all that stuff. So those guys don't have a place there. They have to come to our shitty country and ruin our time.
Get the fuck out.
But yeah, I just want to say that before Mike continues, I think that's why, you know, to reiterate what Nando was saying, like, that's why these guys are lining up and like, all right, this is actually real. This actually looks like something that has a possibility. We have to line up against it because this guy stands for everything that we're not. You know, like, the elitist mentality, the whole I'm up in Washington and I get to make money doing absolutely nothing for nobody. Like, what does Frum do for anyone, right? Like, I get that he has a job. Isn't he at the Atlantic?
Yeah.
Or, like, I get that he has a job doing, but what's his contribution to society been? Like, I can make money up there forever. And this guy upsets that opportunity, right? Like, you know, and Bernie's against all of that stuff. And that's why I think you see everybody lining up and being like, all right, we got to take this guy out. And of course, you know, it's hilarious because it goes from, oh, somebody that extreme. And I hate to belabor this, but the whole extreme stuff just kills me. What's extreme? The fight for 15. So extreme. And that's what we're seeing happen all across the country. You know what I'm saying? Like, universal healthcare, so extreme. Polls amazingly amongst the, you know, the U.S. citizenry. Like, what are these extreme? They can never articulate what the extreme positions are, ever.
You know what it is, too, though? I think it's all that for sure. And it's look, at the end of the day, it is that, right? But I think it's particularly in Bernie Sanders' case because he really, you know, I think sometimes as a politician in his own ranks and with his own people, he should be more like that shit that he doesn't like birthdays and all of that stuff. It actually matters. It actually is a part of politics. And I think he's getting better at that. On the other hand, in a good way, when he shows up at the New York Times, he actually did a great job, but he knows what, and he doesn't really like, okay, well, fuck you too. And I think what's incredible, especially about media people, is that they're so narcissistic and they're so crazy and delusional that they really like, they would fight him anyways, first and foremost, because they represent the interests of corporations. But the fact that he doesn't kiss their ass drives them over the edge.
And to me, if you're a Bernie supporter, you should be encouraged by this. Of course, you know, like the surge is real. You know, all of these things where he's picking up steam is showing that the actual ground operation is working. He's blowing these guys out the box with the money. And, you know, and again, the panic is a good sign, right? Like, it does remind me of the Jebs and the – dude, I remember one of the staffers. I forgot if it was a Jeb or a Romney staff, former staffer. One of these never-Trumper cats that – everybody in the I was about to say lamestream media. Everybody in the mainstream media. Everybody who those people love, right? I specifically remember him saying, Trump is gonna lose 50 states. This guy's a joke. This guy's a this. You know, just sounding the panic alarms when in reality. And just remember this whenever all of these idiots make the electability arguments. You win the nomination of a major party, you're electable. That's just the bottom line. That's the reality of having a major two-party systems. Once you're a nominee, I don't care who you are, you're electable, okay? So don't let people make that argument. It's a nonsensical one. And again, the idea of electability... The idea that those arguments are being made after Donald Trump was elected with the worst favorabilities, lying all day, every day. Like, you couldn't script a worse candidate as far as what these guys' standards are for what a quote-unquote candidate should be. No moderation in his message. You know, super gruff. Just like all of these things that they claim will not, you know, win the hearts and minds of American people. And he won. So, like, I don't want to hear from these cats anymore.
The thing that people don't understand about the political spectrum is that most people see the political spectrum as two extremes and then kind of a moderate center in which people are like, oh, I want a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but not too much of that and not too much of this, right? And that's just not how the political spectrum works. They've actually done political science on this, and the vast majority of quote-unquote swing voters, so the voters that in theory decide elections, right, the ones that go back and forth between parties, are not actually moderate people. They're actually quite radical in their beliefs. Like, they just believe things that are not ideologically coherent. So, like, they might believe, you know, that, you know, we can get free health care or we should get free health care, but they might also believe that every immigrant should be just shot in the head, right? And these guys are called, what political scientists call them, are Mars voters, which are middle American radicals. That's what the middle of the political spectrum looks like, which is kind of what, like, Joe Rogan is, right? I mean, I don't think Joe Rogan wants to shoot immigrants in the head, but he holds...
Immigration like, is an area that Joe Rogan has been, like, really good
on, yeah.
And I want to, like, give him the props for that because I think that's helped.
Right. But he holds like heterodox views that are quite extreme, if that makes sense. Yeah. And if you look at the history of presidential elections, extremism actually works, whether it was Trump or whether it was Ronald Reagan, who at the time in 1980 was seen as a right-wing lunatic fringe person, not like the sort of sober moderate we think of today or he's seen as today. At the time, Richard Nixon thought he was like this insane right-wing fanatic. And then our most left-wing president of all time, probably FDR, got elected four times to the presidency. He won four general elections, and he would have won 25 had he lived. they would have voted him dictator for life. So this idea that the center is where the people at, or the moderates is where people at, actually very few people are moderate. No one really likes a moderate. No one likes John Kerry. No one likes Mitt Romney. No one likes Al Gore. No one likes any of these bozos, Bob Dole. That just is just not there's just not a constituency for that type of thing. People want someone with some firm beliefs.
And I don't want to oversell it, but, you know, it's such a different time. So I think people overdo it with this, but Obama really did, in addition to the innate revolutionary aspect of him being the first black president, he go back and look at how he went after Hillary Clinton on being on the Walmart board Iraq.
Iraq was the main thing. It was just, he just hammered her.
Yes.
Excuse the imagery there, but he just hammered her on Iraq. Like, he's, all right, Mike, we got to move on to, you know, Sean King, who's one of the most polarizing figures on the internet. I happen to think he's a cool cat. Like I get why people are annoyed by him, but in my opinion, the guy generally just means well. He can just come off. I like Sean King. Like, I always have. Like, his style can rub people the wrong way, and I get that. But I like where his head is at, usually like 90% of the time, to be quite honest. Then he had this fantastic thread, and he's just pointing out that, like, bro, this week Joe Biden is lying about something that he admitted to lying about already in 1987 during his one of his first presidential runs. Like, he's lying about having been a civil rights activist. Like, this is ridiculous. This is just ridiculous. This is not the type of thing you lie about. Like, you know, the stuff where he's lying about being graduating at the top of his class, that's like resume stuff, right? Like, that's like, all right, you know, I'm really good at VLOOKUPs and pivot tables on Excel, the type of shit people lie about on their resume. This isn't that, bro. Like, this is shit. People died behind this stuff.
That one was so funny.
First movement in American history, maybe.
The funny was, I mean, his when he was talking about his college,
it happened
college,
20th century. I was a leader in it.
Yeah, but when he was talking about his college accomplishments, I was like, this is so obviously a lie. You know, like when he's like, I was the only one in my class in law school to get a full academic scholarship. Like, what? What law school only gives out one academic scholarship? Like, does it make any sense? He's like, yeah, and I had three undergraduate degrees. I had 160 credits when I only needed 120. It's like, what? Who gets, like, what are you talking about? He's like, I was the number one student in my political science department. It's like, man, I've seen like boasters and liars and all that stuff. It's like, you can spot that shit from a mile away. It's so obvious.
Dude, watching him lie real quick is honestly like the only thing I could think of is it's like a mashup of Borat and Trump.
Yeah,
it's like Trump lies like no one lies more than Trump. But because of the weird, like you were just saying, Nando, it's like that weird added, like it's like a big lie like Trump, but with like weird specifics, like a Borat movie. Like, I have 175 credit. No one need more 100. I get them all. I'm only one academic. I get all the scholarships. Only one. I win it.
And these things are so easily found out. It's like, this is like, you know, if you lie and said like, yo, man, it was this girl on my block. Yo, I literally got her cat out the tree up one day, one summer when I was 15. Like, it really happened. Like, these type of things are hard to disprove, but like, where you graduated in your class?
Call him up and find the thing. And they have records. It's the easiest, like the reporters were almost like they couldn't believe it. They're like, why would you lie about this, man? Like, we can check this in 2 seconds. You're running for president. You know, like, it's just so funny and bizarre.
And the funny thing, what I find so amazing and ironic about it is watching those clips from, you know, it's like a talking heads panel from 88 where they're talking about Biden. They're like, yo, a lot of people in D.C., his rep is it's all chat. There's nothing actually behind. There's nothing actually there. There's nothing actually behind that. He's a phony. And today his reputation is being middle class Joe. Like, I'm a real guy. Blah, 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 blah. It's all nonsense. He's been in the pockets of the banks and the, you know, the real estate industry and all these other industries, man. Since the late 90s, essentially. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a phony. Like, the guy is coasting on Barry's legacy, and so therefore he has a level of celebrity and name recognition with a lot of people in the party, and that's what his support is based on. His actual platform is literally, let's keep everything exactly the same. So you can't tell me he's winning on his issues. It's not the issues. You can't tell me he's winning on, like, what's Joe Biden's issue right now aside from win the election? Like, he doesn't have one. He doesn't have one. He's not winning on anything. This is a joke.
When this primary started, I follow politics very closely. And when this primary started, I saw that Joe Biden, who is a utterly loathsome human being in so many ways, and so, and beyond that, like, beyond his political content, which is awful, like, just so obviously wrong for the moment, right? Like, in this moment of desperation for change in the electorate, not just in the United States, but all over Europe, a guy like Joe Biden is just so obviously wrong for the moment, right? But when I saw him get into the primary and he had, 45 to 50% of the vote in the polls, I was like, man, if Joe Biden wins this primary, I'll have to, like, how can I believe in politics anymore? Like, it would, like, shatter my faith that any of this shit even matters. You know what I mean? But one of the truisms that people always talk about in primaries is that most voters, the vast majority of voters, don't pay attention till the very end, till the couple weeks before they have to vote. Then they kind of just start reading up a little bit or start paying more attention, and then they sort of make their decision and vote, right? And that's what I found most heartening is that more or less 2 to 3 weeks before the first Iowa caucus, you see Joe Biden's numbers just take a huge dip. So, like, I think a lot of the support was people were just kind of like, yeah, Joe, he's fine. Yeah, we'll take him. That'll take. But then as soon as they started really paying attention, that's when you see his numbers start to crater. So it's kind of restoring my faith in the political process somewhat.
Yeah, I actually have a similar feeling to that. And I also just think, like, some of politics is really just performance. And even as things change so much, people shouldn't forget that. So I think a lot of people, like, a Bill Clinton or a Barack Obama, at the end of the day, it really was their just charisma and leadership qualities. Mm-hmm. And I think, honestly, like, the other thing people need to be honest about with Joe Biden is that in 2016, Bernie would have won, and that would have been the best thing we could have done, obviously. But Biden would have won. Biden would have kicked Trump's ass. But now, watching this, and he's diminishing. Like,
he's sundowning mentally.
It's a crazy risk. Besides all of the problems and all of the facts that, all of his, like, backroom shit and double dealing shit around his family, that is just the exact just disaster scenario to run against Trump. I hope everybody sees that.
Also, I just want to address something that and we keep talking about it week after week on the show, but it's something I saw in the Sean King comments, and it's something I keep seeing amongst, I guess, I don't know what you would call these people, squishy centrist libs, like this idea that this is a scorched earth mentality amongst Bernie supporters, that we're digging up dirt that's not going to help him if he's the eventual nominee. This shit's going to come out if he's the nominee. Like, if you actually think the Republicans aren't going to figure out that Joe Biden's been lying his whole life on the campaign trail whenever he's run for president, it's going to come out. His cozy relationship with the banks is going to come out. It's not going to be any differently than when they attack Hillary on Goldman. They attack Hillary on all this other stuff. Like, the speech, the speaking fees and all of that stuff. Like, the attack is, I don't think a lot of liberals and Dems understand this, like, the problem with Hillary's candidacy was her inability to make a differentiation between herself and the other candidate. It's like, bro, you talking about you some champion of the poor, blah, blah, blah. You fly private. You freaking, you go to Goldman and get $250,000 to speak for an hour. You know, you doing all of these things like this is your past. Like you're a phony. She could not effectively make that argument. And guess what? Biden's not going to effectively be able to make that argument either. This differentiation is not going to work, man. And also, he's diminishing as a person. And that's not going to help either. The bottom line is, and I think, of course, Bernie can make the art. And I keep saying this, he can effectively, in good faith, with a straight face, say, no, this is what I'm actually about. This is what I've actually been about. And to a much lesser extent, you can say that maybe about Warren, maybe, because she has a history of, you know, consumer advocacy and all of that kind of stuff. But like the bottom line, bro, like this guy's not going to be able to make this argument, this idea that nobody's going to realize that he lied about being at the sit-ins. Like this shit is going to come up. I'm sorry. All of this stuff about why are we attacking our fellow Dems? I don't know. I guess it's a primary, but it should be a pillow fight. Like shut the fuck up.
Well, you're exactly right, but the other thing too, besides that, that's so fucking infuriating. I don't agree with that position, but there is maybe occasionally you see people pop up like this. I can't even think of a name, but there is like maybe one or two people in the whole universe of this shit who say that, and then they literally they don't badmouth anybody, right? They really do have anybody but Trump mentality. It could be Bernie, it could be Biden, it could be Tulsi, right? It could be Buttigieg. Now, I don't agree with that because primaries are primaries. And in fact, partially, like, we're going to protect ourselves by being serious about the primary because it's going to come up in the general election one way or another. But always, 99.999% of the time, the people that are saying this are the same people that will, you know, literally defame Bernie. Yeah, I mean, well, forget even negative campaigning. I mean, the comfort level at lying about him is mind-blowing. Yeah. So that's like the other thing about him is that – about this dynamic is that, again, I wouldn't agree. But if somebody came along and was just like, I don't have a bad word to say about any of them because I feel we got to get rid of Trump full stop, okay, I can respect that even if I don't agree. But most of these people are just coming out – and it's just like, oh, well, I want to be able to lie about a whole movement and smear a bunch of people. I want to be able to lie about and demonize and be absolutely disgusting and unethical to one candidate and the millions of actual workers and human beings he represents. But if I get called on it, if I get criticized, if I get teased, if my candidate's actual record gets talked about, well, that's horrible. And we need to talk about Trump. So it's another like disgusting, hypocritical double standard.
But the weird thing is that this idea that the right wing is getting all their attack ideas from watching the primary, you know, it's like as if they're getting like the secret cheat codes, like the Game Genie secret cheat codes to how to attack Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden from the primary. Like that's what they're like. They don't have like armies of investigators and lobbyists just digging up oppo on every single Democrat ever at all times, you know, like especially anyone running for president, you know, and they're not preparing attacks on their own. Like the fact that they would need to get ideas from, you know, Bernie supporters or whatever is just absolutely hilarious and childish.
And it's just, but no, the reason why it's annoying though, Nando, for me is like this. I keep hearing this colorblind shit, like Bernie's running some fantastical colorblind campaign. He's clueless on race. Biden lied about being at the sit-ins. Okay, like what the fuck? That's crazy. And again, this is the same dude that did the eulogy at Strom Thurmond's funeral. Like what the like? What are we talking about?
I want to say too. What's really funny to me, going back to the Rogan thing for 1 second, and let's make it a totally separate category. I don't, you know, it's ridiculous. Howard Stern, Rogan, whatever, go on there, try to make your case cool. Joe Biden's social media team tried to take a shot at Bernie about this. And forgetting even Joe Biden's whole record, Joe Biden, a guy who supports Joe Biden is this congressman from Massachusetts named Stephen Lynch, who was a congressman in the 1990s. I believe he was in the state legislature in Massachusetts. He co-sponsored a gay panic defense bill that literally is you can murder somebody and it's a valid defense to be like, well, thought he was trying to fuck me. And then it's like, okay. But yes, absolutely you could take a shot at Bernie Sanders for highlighting a popular podcaster who said some awful shit liking you. Like, it's just both of what you're saying is true. Like, the hypocrisy just knows no bounds. You know?
Well, the funniest thing ever was that in this primary, a right-wing kind of troll journalist huckster guy, I think it was James O'Keefe or one of those type of guys, at an event went up to Biden and asked him how many genders there are, and Biden said at least three. It was like the funniest thing ever. Like, you know, you know, like, and then he put the tweet. Yeah, he's like at least three. So, like, the Biden's tweet about, you know, how transgender rights are the civil rights issue of our time, which was a direct reference to Bernie embracing the Rogan endorsement, was just so funny because, like, Biden wouldn't, like, has never met a trans person in his entire life. And, you know, maybe, and he doesn't know anything about trans issues at all. Like, I'm not saying that he has any bigoted views, or although he probably does a little bit, but he just doesn't know anything about that issue at all.
Oh, no. I mean, yeah. And Bernie, like, again, there's this piece in the Daily Beast that's like, Burlington was a trans mecca in the 80s. That's the thing, though, that really does drive me crazy with, like, all of the lies about Bernie is it's like, they don't even hold him to the same, like, oh, okay, Elizabeth Warren voted for Reagan during the AIDS crisis, but she pretends she's a Native American, but she changed. Okay, Joe Biden was, like, buddies with segregationists, but he changed. Okay, so if that's the standard, all right, fair enough. It just so happens that the one guy that you're going to lie about and say is, like, a bigot is the only one that, like, in 1972 was like, yeah, gay people shouldn't be discriminated against. It's unfucking believable to me, you know. It's just like, all right.
Yeah, and the fight goes on. You know, again, I to me, it's about making the arguments on the merits. I think if you wanted to make that colorblind critique back in 2016, sure. I mean, whatever. I think there was room there. What I'm saying is, in 2016, he left himself open to that kind of thing for sure. I don't know that it was necessarily the most fair critique, but he was open to that, right? It's over for that. And again, we got to think about the context. We got to think about if that's your beef, that's your problem. We got to think about who is actually in the race right now. Like, are you saying with a straight face that Biden is just he's just better on race than Bernie is? Like, Biden? Woo, child, boy.
Let's be real. Like, it's a Biden versus Bernie race at the moment.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, and then you have to make your choice based on that. Like, all these other jokers are fading so fast. It's just impossible to imagine them turning it around at this point. Right now, it really is a race to the end between Biden and Bernie, and that's your choice. Like, if you consider yourself a left of center person, left liberal, progressive, whatever, you know, that's your choice. Like, look inside yourself and say, do I want Biden, the guy who is, you know, clearly, you know, his brain's leaking out of his ear, or Bernie Sanders, the guy who has been fighting this good fight his entire life?
I know we gotta go, but did you guys catch that Vice panel? We played it on my show.
No.
So they tell Biden, and honestly, this is where I feel bad. He clearly doesn't know. He's losing his mind, and people aren't giving him information. So they're like, why do you think that you're losing with young African-American voters? And he's like, I'm winning with every single African-American. Like, what are you talking about? And they got by a huge margin. And the host kind of teased him a little bit. He's like, you know, kind of like, hey, what do you mean by huge? Like this huge or this huge? And Biden looks at him and he goes, come on, man.
Oh, so good. Man. It's so good.
Oh boy.
And that's the guy. Bernie Sanders was like, I thought, you know, that scene with Richard Pryor where he, you know, teaches Gene Wilder how to dance was funny. That would prompt like 100 think pieces.
Right.
But Joe Biden could sit and be like, come on, man.
Yeah.
And you know,
fucking register.
The last thing I want to say about this is, you know, I remember feeling like, look, a lot of people in the Bernie camp, which I've considered myself a member of, were definitely really salty after 2016 about the DNC cleared the way, blah, 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 blah. Hillary sucks, and then she lost, and blah, 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 and then the Never Hillary, and Bernie a bust, and all of this other shit. And I remember my critique being at the time like, yo, you lost. That's it, right? Like, you lost. You ran the race. Bernie lost. It's fine. It's okay. Like, but he lost. It's cool. And here's what I'll say about people being really annoying right now. Like, you can't make the argument, as I did, like, yo, you know, well, if progressivism is so popular, how come y'all never win? You can't make that argument and then start telling people what kind of ways they get to fight. Like, it doesn't work. You can't have it both ways, okay? You can't fix the fight. It's a fight. Now somebody has to win, and that's it. All right, like that, like all of this. Oh, Bernie, why are you doing this? Why are you just shut up? Win. You get just as dirty. Win, motherfucker. That's what it's going to take.
I love that. All right, that's a perfect time to end. Perfect note to end on. Win, motherfucker. We will be back next week with more Woke Bros. Leave us a review. Make sure you're subscribed to the Bomb Feed. Find Nonzo in the notes. You can find him on Twitter. You can watch him on TYT. Of course, you can become a member of The Athletic. You can also become a patron of the Count of Dings Network. And obviously, that's all the ways you can listen to Waz and read his writing. And of course, follow the man on Twitter and Instagram. Also Instagram for Nonzo. For me, best way, patreon.com/TMBS. Also TMBS.FM, where you can find out about our live shows, get our gear, hoodies, and so on. And follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you, Rob Lopez. Thanks, everybody. Peace and love. See you next week.